Thank you, brother. Good job. All right. Good morning again. How are you? Looking good. It's not your imagination. It is actually brighter in here. Have you noticed that? Yeah, we got some new lights. And I know some of you are thinking, wow, now that you can actually see me, some of you are thinking, wow, I thought Jim was a lot younger than that. But so I'm going to have to get a facelift or start wearing more makeup or something to that effect. But it is nice, isn't it? It's really LED lights, and they actually use less energy, so it's really a blessing. If you'll take your copy of God's Word and turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, and there's an outline that's been provided for you in your bulletin. You want to have that ready. Lots of the scriptures that we'll be referring to and reading are printed on there for you. As today we talk about how to find God's new direction for your life. And the great news is that if that's what you need today, it is possible to find God's new direction for your life. Amen? Amen. I know some of you already have. And so what I'd like you to do is turn to the person next to you, smile, shake their hand, and say, if you knew my story, you'd know there's hope for you too. Okay, go ahead and do that. All right? That's right. Well, I heard about... All right, you guys are really getting into that. That's good. I like that. I heard about this Protestant minister that moved to a new town and a new church. Actually, it was a small town. And so the local rabbi and Catholic priest wanted to welcome him to town, so they invited him to go fishing with them. And he was so grateful, and he obliged. And one day they were out in a boat on the lake and just fishing and talking and having a great time. Been out there for a couple of hours, and all of a sudden the rabbi got up and in the boat and said, oh, you know what? I forgot my water bottle in the car. And so he got to the edge of the boat, stepped out of the boat onto the water, walked on the water, back to the shore, back to the car, got his water bottle, walked back on the water, got back in the boat, and started fishing. The minister was amazed. But he didn't say anything because he was the new guy. Well, about a half hour later, the priest looked around and said, oh, no, I forgot my lunch. So he stands up in the boat. He steps out, starts walking on the water, back to the shore, back to the car, gets his lunch, walks on the water, back to the boat, gets in the boat, sits down, starts fishing again. Now, the minister is astonished. He cannot believe what he's saying. He's saying, Lord, you're doing miracles through these men. And he thought to himself, well, wait a minute, Lord, if you're enabling and empowering them to walk on the water, you know, surely you'll do it for me. Because I'm just as much a man of God as they are. And so he told the other fellows, he said, oh, guys, you know what? I left one of my lures in the car, and I've got to go get it. So he stands up and stands at the edge of the boat, steps out, there's a huge splash, and he sinks like a rock right to the bottom. And he splashes around, and finally he climbs back in the boat, you know, sputtering and choking, and he's just, you know, absolutely soaking. And he says to the other men, gentlemen, I'm so sorry. I just wasn't prepared. And so he stands on the side of the boat, and this time he bows his head and closes his eyes and has a moment of prayer. He steps out, and straight to the bottom he goes. Same thing happens. This happens two or three more times. Finally, the rabbi turns to the priest and says, do you think we should tell him where the rocks are? Well, my goal today is to tell you where the rocks are, if I can. Because we serve a God who often surprises us. Amen. He does great things, but in ways that we would never imagine or envision, and through people we would never expect him to use. And I think this is especially important to remember when something we had hoped for and worked for and prayed for doesn't work out the way we wanted it to. And we're left confused and disappointed, hurting over the past, uncertain about the future. And the question is, when we experience times like these, how can we move on and find that new direction that God has for our lives? Well, the first and most important truth that I want to share with you today about moving into the future with faith and confidence and hope is this. And it's the words that Moses gave to Joshua when they were going into battle for the promised land. It's printed on the top of your outline, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Oh, there's so much greatness in that passage. But I want you to look at it closely and see what it actually says. It says that the Lord is not only going to be with you, he's not only going to be leading you, it actually says that wherever you're going, he's already been preparing the way for you. In fact, some other translations say the Lord will go ahead of you. In other words, wherever you go in life, you're never going to go to a place where the Lord hasn't already been. There's no situation that you get into that shocks the Lord, that catches him off guard. You never cry out to him in a crisis and hear him say, I didn't expect that. I had no idea that was going to happen. What am I going to do now? No, the Lord is always ahead of us, anticipating our every need. Before you even have a problem, the Lord has a solution. And this is seen in the life of the Old Testament character known as Samuel. Samuel was a great and godly prophet and priest of God. He experienced a special calling from God. He had a special closeness with God. Samuel was what was known as a judge in ancient times, and that was such a special position in the place of God's people. A judge in Old Testament times was not only the spiritual leader of the nation, but also the general of the army. Can you imagine that? And Samuel was great at both. He led Israel into a time of spiritual revival and military conquest. But toward the end of his illustrious life, the people of Israel rejected Samuel's leadership. And wanting to be like all the other nations around them, started clamoring for a human king. And this really hurt Samuel. But the Lord told him, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Because see, up to this point, Israel's king had been the Lord. They were a theocracy. But in spite of the warnings that God gave the people through Samuel regarding the dangers and pitfalls associated with having a human king, they would not change their mind. And so the Lord sent Samuel to anoint a man by the name of Saul. And Saul had so much potential. I mean, Saul looked like a king. He was tall, he was handsome, he was a great warrior, and he was humble. And everything went so well at the beginning. The Spirit of the Lord came on Saul in powerful ways, and he was prophesying and leading the army of Israel to defeat the enemies of God all around him. Well, Saul may have looked the part, but he didn't have the heart. Eventually, he became impatient, arrogant, and rebellious. Ultimately, Saul went into this kind of spiritual death spiral that left him paranoid and envious, unstable, and even murderous. And Samuel loved Saul like a son. And he had so much hope in him and for him. He had poured so much of his heart into Saul, and he knew what was at stake for the nation. So when God rejected Saul as king, the Bible says that Samuel was so brokenhearted over it, so distraught over it, that he cried out to the Lord all night long. And I'm sure Samuel wondered, Lord, why is this happening? What is your nation going to do now? What am I going to do? Obviously, Samuel needed God's new direction for his life. And I know that many of us, many of you, may be in the same place right now. There are dreams, there are relationships, there are plans that you have put so much of yourself into. So much of your time and effort and heart and love, so much prayer, even your money, that have not worked out the way that you wanted it to or the way you expected. Maybe it was the death of a loved one. Maybe it was a divorce you didn't want. Maybe it's a debilitating physical illness. Maybe it's depression or anxiety or an addiction that's taken over your life. It may be a difficult marriage or a troubled child. Maybe you always wanted to go to college, but that didn't happen. Or maybe after all your hard work and overtime, someone less qualified got the promotion that you expected. Maybe you've lost your job or in a financial crisis. And right now, you don't understand, and it doesn't seem there, and in spite of all your tears and prayers, here you are. And you are saying, like Samuel, Lord, why? Why this? Why me? Why now? And what do you want me to do next? Well, fortunately, the example of Samuel's life doesn't only raise the question of what to do next, it provides some great answers. I see in his life some practical ways that you and I can find that new direction for our life that we need. So now back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. You got your outline out, ready to go. First thing, first way to find the Lord's new direction for your life. First of all, resolve to leave the past behind. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? It's interesting to me that the word used here for mourn is the same word that's used to describe someone mourning for someone who had died. That's how this was impacting Samuel's heart. His dream for Saul and the nation to have a godly king was dead at this point. Friends, I want you to understand that when you face times of disappointment and loss, it is right and it is godly to grieve and to mourn and to be sad. And obviously, the deeper the loss, the more significant the loss, the longer and deeper you will mourn. But I want to tell you this, that mourning should only go on for the season, for a season, and never the rest of your life. Because when it goes on too long, it becomes self-destructive and prevents you from enjoying the great things God has for you in the now and in the future. And evidently, this was happening to Samuel. I love the way the New Living Translation puts what the Lord said. He says, you have mourned long enough for Saul. He's saying, Samuel, I understand. But now it's time to put that behind you. And this morning, maybe the Lord is saying the same thing to you about your disappointing, discouraging, or painful situation. My child, you have mourned long enough. Now it's time to put that behind you. Now it's time to quit looking to the past and start looking to the future I have for you. Learn from it, grow through it, receive God's mercy and forgiveness, whatever you need, but resolve to leave that behind you. I love Isaiah 63, verse 1. It's on your outline. Listen to this. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. What do these ashes represent? They represent the hopes and dreams and desires that are gone. They burned up. They're destroyed. You have those. And all you have left are the ashes. And God says, I can still do something great and beautiful with those and you. But you won't be able to see it. You won't be able to enjoy it as long as you hold on to those ashes. As long as you cling to the past. As long as you hold on to the hurt, the anger, the disappointment. So today, if you want to find God's new direction for your life, you got to let go of the past. Number two, second way, it's on your outline there, is ready yourself for the new way God may take you. Okay? Look at the second part of verse 1. The Lord says to Samuel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Evidently, Samuel had a special horn that he would fill with the anointing oil and pour it over the king to be. And I actually think I can imagine Samuel, after this huge crash of Saul, putting it away where he couldn't see it. Because he associated that with such a joyous and happy and hopeful time, and it just turned out so wrong. And so he didn't want to be reminded of that, so he actually put it away. And the Lord said, no, Samuel, get it back out. Renew your hope. Resurrect those dead dreams. I have a new direction for you. Get up and get going. I have a new king for you to anoint. I sense the Lord may be telling you the same thing today. Stop looking back and look forward to the new way, to the new things that I have for you in the future. Expect it. Look for it. Get excited about it. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19 on your outline. But the Lord says, do not cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new thing I'm going to do. It's happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. Friends, your God and my God is a God of new things, of new ways, of new hope, of new strength. He's a God of new opportunities, new possibilities, and new resources that you need in that wilderness experience. So today, decide to get after it, to get moving. Number three, third way to find God's new direction for your life is refuse to allow fear to stop from moving forward. Verse 2. Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. I mean, that's how bad it had become. Verse 3, the Lord says to Samuel, I will show you what to do. I'll show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. I know it's a familiar phrase. It's not just a cliche, though, that when God closes one door, he opens another that may well be even better. But I know that loss and change and new things can be scary. It often involves new challenges, risks, and even strong enemies. But we can't let that stop us, because Almighty God is with you and on your side. Look at this great scripture. Psalm 18, verse 29. It's on your outline. David said, with you I can attack a line of soldiers. With my God I can break through the barricades. I love that. David is saying, hey, listen, you and God are a majority. You and God can take on an entire army of enemies. All the enemies that have attacked you all these years. The fear, the guilt, the worry, the regret. By God's power, you will attack and defeat instead of them attacking and defeating you. And then I love this. There's a breakthrough. You break through the barricades. You know there's been barricades between you and your dreams, between you and growth, between you and accomplishing the things you've always wanted to accomplish or be the person you've always wanted to be. And David envisions, with God's help, you breaking through those barriers. And like never before, enjoying the joy and hope and peace God had for you. If you hear nothing else today, would you hear the word of the Lord from this passage and say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will tell you what to do. Fourth and final way to find God's new direction is to always remember that God's best plan may surprise you. It's a great story. You know, Samuel goes to Jesse's house and he lines up all his sons, and Samuel goes to each one. They're all capable. They're good-looking guys. They're big and strong. But God did not choose any of them. And so Samuel steps back and says, Jesse, do you have any other sons? And Jesse said, well, yeah, my youngest, he's out in the field. I mean, he stinks like a sheep, but if you want me to bring him in here, I will. Just about the time we think we have God all figured out and him wrapped in a neat, nice, tiny little box, he takes us in a direction, he works in a way that we would never have dreamed of in a million years. And Samuel sent for this unlikely choice. And verse 13, he arrives and he anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Who would have ever guessed that God was preparing the next and greatest king of Israel in some forgotten, obscure hillside of Israel? I wonder who is more surprised, David or Samuel? Or maybe David's brothers? Friends, your next step into God's greatest plan for your life may surprise you. It may be something you never imagined or expected. Look at Ephesians 3:20. I use it so often, but it's worth repeating. With God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. Friends, understand that just because your loved one has died, just because that marriage or your career or your dream did not turn out the way you thought it would, that doesn't mean that God's plan for your life is over. Take comfort in knowing that while the past is gone, maybe it was painful, that God's promise is to use even those painful, ugly things to do something beautiful in your life. But sometimes it's hard to see. Let's go to the next slide, please. How many of you heard this song? Okay, I guess not enough of us know it here at Northern Light to sing it. But for almost 30 years, in churches all over the United States, this song, written by Don Moen, has been sung probably every Sunday somewhere. But you know, until this week, I did not know the backstory of this song. Many years ago, Don was awakened in the middle of the night to one of those calls you dread. You know, when the phone rings in the middle of the night, it's never good news. And this wasn't. His mother-in-law informed him that his wife's sister, Susan, and her husband, Craig, and their four little boys had been in a terrible auto accident. The oldest boy, Jeremy, was just 8 years old. He had been killed instantly, and the others were in serious condition. And naturally, Don and his wife were devastated. And although they were strong believers and praying, they were at a loss as to how to move forward, how to comfort their family, what to do next. And Don said that at that moment, it was as if God gave him these words, and this is where the song came from. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. And this short, simple song has brought comfort and hope to millions, including me, in our darkest and most confusing times. If you need new direction today, remember, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. Let's stand and sing together.